Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for the professor, you can text those in to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Try to get to as many of your questions as we can before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Hey, I want to play you a soundbite and get your reaction to it. This is back in March. Bruce Arians being asked about Brady loving Antonio Brown and the idea of Antonio Brown playing there.
Tom has had an affinity for him because of his work ethic. You know, forget all the other antics, but just how he works on the field and in practice is top of the line.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach. I just want to play with Tom. You still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
And now I'm looking at a headline: source AB working on deal to join Buccaneers. What happened, John?
Tom Brady looks like he won the battle, and we'll see if it's going to work. Now, what's going to be interesting if it does turn out to be a minimum salary deal. You know, remember, they just had to restructure a contract of Ali Marpet just to be able to fit in the Steve McClendon trade that they just made. And so, and it could be like we're seeing so many players now this late in the midseason, you know, accepting the fact to go on the practice squad. We just saw four Seahawks do it here on defense in the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, if he's willing to do that, maybe whatever Bruce said is wrong. Not that Bruce has ever said anything that has countered what turned out to be true or turned out to end up happening. But, hey, I'm rooting for it because at least as long as he doesn't come to Seattle.
You're not alone in that, John.
But here's the weird part about this. On the football side of it, it's almost the same thing here as Seattle because, you know, we're watching DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett emerge as one of the top wide receiver duos in football. Well, consider currently the top wide receiver duo is Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. All right. And Bruce Arians is in a pure two tight end offense. I mean, he used to have OJ Howard, but he's out for the season on injured reserve, Achilles injury. And so now they have Gronk and they have, Cameron Brate. And so, you know, when that happens with the two receivers on the field at the same time, the tight ends don't get the ball. So now are they going to switch away and go to a three-receiver offense, or what are they trying to do? Regardless, again, it's not like he's going to come in here and play in the next 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. But, let's root for, Brown to go to Tampa Bay.
Well, yeah, I agree. What's your interpretation, John? Because there was, after the first game, something that was maybe between Brady and Arians. What's your interpretation of their relationship? You said, Tom won the battle there, but how would you portray it?
Well, again, he won a tempting because he's got the guy coming in for a workout and a visit and go through COVID testing. And so that goes in. But, here's the interesting thing, too. And I guess I don't know if it's a matter that Bruce is adjusting to Tom or Tom is adjusting to Bruce. But remember what Bruce said boldly in the offseason. It had nothing to do with Antonio Brown as far as the COVID testing. Everybody's going to get it. I mean, all players are going to get it. So it's like, have them all get it and get it through their systems and all that stuff. And it's like, there's a real bold statement. And then he came out this week, and I don't know if it's a matter because of Tom Brady didn't shake hands with Nick Foles. And he says, no, I don't want my players on the field shaking hands. I want them to come off immediately, come into the locker room. Well, if they're out there, it's like now you've changed 100% because, I mean, you didn't care if every one of your players got COVID's positives, and now it's a matter of like, let's change the story and let's go with the idea. It's like, oh no, we want to, we don't want you to socialize and be on the field after the game. Go straight to the locker room.
Hey, John, we got a quick update here. Adam Schefter tweeted a minute ago, Antonio Brown and the Bucs have reached agreement on a one-year deal per sources. Language still to be finalized. COVID protocols passed, but Brown is likely to make his Bucs debut in week 9 against the Saints.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great?
No more questions about Antonio Brown.
No, this is a great, great situation. We are loving this. I mean, we've hit the big time. No more Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, that's good news for the Seahawks, isn't it, John?
It is from my looking at it, yeah. I mean, again, it's like, you know, Russell Wilson did want him for the talent, and, you know, they've been developed a friendship and all that stuff. And sure, it's nice to be able to have all this stuff going on with talent, but I just think this team is still better served with what they got going on right now with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, certainly with you know, David Moore and everything that they have at wide receiver.
John, Dante Pettis celebrating his 25th birthday today with Kyle Shanahan informing him that the team is shopping him. Why are they doing that?
Because he's been terrible. That's why. I mean, it's like every time they've wanted him to do something, he's not been able to do it. And so he can't – I mean, it's so bad where – remember, they've had Brandon Ayuk hurt. They've had Debo Samuel on injured reserve. You know, Richie James. I mean, they've had, what, three, four, five wide receivers go down with injuries, and he couldn't step in and do anything. And so, you know, it's expected that they were shopping him because, again, he's been so bad. I mean, what, they took him, what, second, third round? He's been a major disappointment.
Hey, what's going on with Dwayne Haskins? He violated the team's COVID protocols. He made a reservation for a family friend at the team hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just they don't want outsiders around the team? That was the violation, or he's
no, you're not allowed. I mean, even, you know, in league protocol, you know, you have to basically shut yourself into a hotel, not go outside, not have visitors unless it's approved by, you know, the different people that are kind of monitoring all these things, the advocates that are there, because, again, everything's going to be taped and all that stuff. And so, you know, this one is not as bad as the undrafted Seahawk cornerback, you know, who brought the girlfriend into the room wearing, you know, Seahawk gear. but it's still a complete violation because you can't bring outsiders into the environment. And he did that. And so you can tell his days in Washington are numbered. I mean, you know, they're shopping him in a trade. They don't want him, even though the owner does. But I think that you can see that this thing has not worked out. And that was just dumb on his part to do that. And selfish, you know, because, you know, one of the reasons that Ron Rivera benched him and put him down to third team is that, you know, he was getting complaints from the players that he wasn't working too hard. And what Ron, who's very good at reading, because as a former player like himself on the Chicago Bears team, I mean, he knows the locker room. And he knows if you have a problem in the locker room, you better solve it or you're going to lose the locker room. And so that's why he basically, you know, took the position. It's like, Dwayne, you're sitting down. We're putting Trent. We're going to put, you know, all these other people ahead of you. You're now third team. Go ahead, sit down. And now, of course, you know, he gets a little bit of sickness. Now, he didn't get COVID's, but he was ill because what happens now, well, we see this with Brandon Shell. And if you even got the sniffles, you know, they send you home just in case because, you know, they worry that it can develop into, you know, some kind of a thing. But we're in that cold season right now. And so, but that's the case. But Dwayne, you know, not only did that, but then to violate it like that, selfish and dumb.
Well, and you just touched on what I was going to ask you, and that is the perception of him around the league. When you hear a player being referred to as maybe lazy or not doing the work, especially if you're a quarterback, mm-hmm. that seems like the most damning thing you could say about him. So I know you said they're trying to move him. What could they realistically get in exchange for a guy who was the 15th overall pick in the draft?
I would think it's probably going to be a fifth or sixth rounder, mm-hmm. that low. Now, again, it's like we watched you know, Miami bail out Arizona when they got sick and tired of Josh Rosen, and they were able to work out something with a second round pick and, you know, maneuver some other draft choices and stuff like that. But that's not going to be the same here with Haskins, because you can see a lot of these things now, they come at a discount. And because, you know, it's hard in this league to get anything higher than a third round pick. And sometimes it's more higher than a fourth round pick. And so I'm thinking it's going to be a fifth or sixth round pick, you know, and you're getting him just to put him on the back end and see where he can be as far as maybe learning something for the future. Because at least you'll have him for two more years under the contract if you get him under the trade. And you also, if he does turn out to be good, get the fifth year option. But league wide, nobody's seen enough of him to be able to make too much of a judgment.
John, Arizona just traded to get Marcus Golden back, mm-hmm. With it was just a couple hours ago, I guess. And I'm looking, it looks like he played the game last night. at least he was active. He's listed as 7 games. But so Trey, just a couple hours ago, obviously not going to be ready for Sunday, I wouldn't think.
No,
but,
he can't.
But definitely, because he's got to go through the protocol and everything. But anyway, interesting that that now they're trading back for him when he started off in Arizona. What was he, a second-round draft choice, I think?
Mm-hmm, I believe like so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows you that they have to do something for their pass rush, and it doesn't help them this week because, again, he's not going to be available to midweek, you know, particularly with this trade because you have to be – you're only available in that sixth day. I think even – what was it? I didn't look at his play time last week but or last night, but he's only been getting like about 16% play time. And, you know, this is even when Lorenzo Carter, one of their starting linebackers, a rookie, I mean, he ends up getting an ACL or an Achilles tear, and so he's out for the season. So they were down one linebacker, and they apparently felt, you know, they'd rather have the draft choice than Golden. And again, these are the things now that we're going to see with the have-nots. You know, the have-nots are going to take the position. It's like, okay, we're out of it because, you know, right now the Giants are 1-6, and the only way they can make the playoffs is to, you know, win that 6-win NFC East. And so with that in mind, if you can get something as far as a draft choice for somebody, you make the trade.
Yeah, it looks like he had a sack last night, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Of course, wait a second. Does that count, knowing it's Carson Wentz with the 4 starting offensive linemen down?
What?
Yeah. It still counts.
No, it still counts, yeah, but again, it's like, okay.
Oh, because it was against receivers blocking.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Now, again, I'm sticking up for Carson Wentz on this because he's getting so much criticism, and do you realize by the time he got to the end of the game, you know, when DeSean Jackson, he gets hurt with a high ankle sprain, you know, Lane Johnson gets a first-degree knee injury on an MCL, they were down 4 offensive linemen, their top 3 wide receivers, their starting running back, their 2 tight end sets, and he only had 1 guy, Jason Kelce, that was a starter that was with him on a game against the New York Giants, and yet he pulled out the victory.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
10 quarterback hits, by the way, on him last
night. Oh, yeah.
Night.
I mean, remember the opener? Sacks. The opener, they were down 3 starting offensive linemen, you know, they're 4 of their top 6 on injured reserve, and he got sacked 8 times by the Washington Redskins.
What about Daniel Jones, John? How does he live that down? You know, I felt bad for him. I think we've all felt like Daniel Jones at one time or another in our lives, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, but I think, you know, he probably has a great chance to get an ESPY next year for comedy. I mean, because, you know, to be able to run, you know, from his, 12-yard line and being tripped up by the 20-yard line and not having anybody within 10 yards of him. I mean, to me, and it's fitting he's on a New York team because it reminds me so much of the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. I mean, because it's comical. I mean, it's like it shows you that as talented as he is, the fact that he's able to run as fast as he did, what Next Gen had him at like 21 plus miles an hour, that he just ran out of gas. And so he falls to the ground. Fortunately, he was able to get the touchdown drive ended. But, you know, you look at him and look at the numbers that he's put up, and it's bad. I mean, you know, in his first 20 starts, you know, he's now had 31 turnovers. The only one that tops that is Ryan Leaf, who had 41 in his first 20 starts.
Wow.
Well, you didn't have to bring that up, did you, John?
Yeah, I did, because I wanted to say how bad it was for Daniel Jones.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, John, next time mention that he was a Washington State Cougar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say that. I just said it was Ryan Leaf. Yeah.
Right. Hey, John, the Raiders are in a situation where their entire offensive line was sent home because of the COVID protocol, and there was some speculation that maybe the game against the Bucs on Sunday might be postponed or moved, and Gruden says, we're going to play Sunday at 1 o'clock, they tell me, and we'll be ready to go. What might that team look like?
Well, it's going to be – they'll have 4 of the 5 starting offensive linemen. I mean, there's still some thought that Trenton Brown may be able to play, but I tend to doubt it because, you know, what it comes down to, and again, each day we find out what the new rules are. And so the new rules are, you know, if you're going to be quarantined because of a close contact with a teammate or somebody with the COVID-19, then you have to, you know, be kind of quarantined for 5 days. Well, wisely, they took the 4 starting offensive linemen who were, I guess, obviously in the meeting with them on Monday and put them in quarantine Monday. Okay, so now because it's Monday, they're eligible to come back off the COVID list, and they can do that tomorrow, and they can play Sunday. you know, unfortunately, and here's where the other one is, whatever happened on Tuesday, you had Jonathan Abrams as safety, starting safety. He ended up being somewhere in contact with Trenton Brown, and so they didn't get a positive test, but they had to put him in the same quarantine. But the fact that it's Tuesday, he's not going to be able to play on Sunday.
All right, John, have you looked at favorite matchup? I'm looking at some good ones here. Monday Night Football, Chicago at the Rams, 5-1 versus 4-2. Of course, the Seahawks, 5-0 versus 4-2. Anything else catch your eyes? How about the Jaguars at the Chargers? Jags at Chargers.
I think we may pass on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
Upset special, John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How have those been going, Jim?
Special.
Not well.
You're not doing well in the upsets?
No, I had Dallas +1 the other night against Arizona, John.
Yeah. Hey, you tell me how you're handling this as far as, entering this week, there was 10 teams with one or zero wins, right? And they're going to be your underdogs, right? They're going to be the ones that you're going to be, I'm going to go for that one. And, you know, at the end of the week six, only four of those 10 teams had won a game against a winning team. Four in six weeks. So I can see where the underdog special right now probably is not working this year of have and have nots.
Yeah, the parity thing isn't working out in the NFL this year.
No, it's different. And it's funny because one of the things I've been trying to get to all day and didn't get to is I was going to go through and research the number of 10 double-digit comebacks, right? And I only got as far as the first 3 weeks of the season, and there were 10. And you know what the record is in the first 3 weeks of the season? It's 11. And, of course, when did his 11 happen? In 2011. Okay, what was the similarity? That was the last time there was no off-season program.
Yeah.
Hey, John, the 425 says, Professor, any chance the Seahawks are still actively looking to trade for a quality pass rusher such as Ryan Kerrigan?
I don't know about Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, that it's going to be hard to fit him into the cap, so that might be a little bit too pricey, not as far as draft choice compensation. And Kerrigan's not even starting right now for the Washington football team, so, he would be an option. But, no, I think they're actively looking. And, again, what you need to do, in fact, I'll try to do it over the weekend. I'm going to go through the 10 bad boys and see, what they may have as far as pass rush. I mean, obviously, Garner Minshew's team is not going to offer anything because their best two pass rushers are now in Baltimore, Calais Campbell and Unique Ndokwe, and Jacksonville sitting there with 5 sacks. So, the guy that I thought would be an interesting acquisition is, Camille Correa, but then he ended up getting traded, and so from Tennessee, because he was on a $1.25 million contract. He was really cheap, and guess where he went? Jacksonville.
Hey, John, Bob was asking me yesterday, what coach would you like to play for? And, I mentioned Gruden, Andy Reid, but my number one guy would be Mike Tomlin. I love the way he operates, the way he, treats his players, very straightforward. But you were about to mention that probably the best matchup, though. Steelers 5-0 at the Titans. And how about Mike Vrabel and the coaching job he's done? Yeah.
Although I think he's going to lose an offensive coordinator because Arthur Smith right now has done such a phenomenal job with Derrick Henry and with Ryan Tannehill that I can't imagine he has to get a head coaching job. He has been on fire. I mean, 15 games for Tannehill, almost 4,000 yards, 35 touchdown passes, and almost 70% completions. Derrick Henry now leads the league in rushing. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. Now, we'll see how the adjustments are going to be without Taylor Lewan because he's out with an ACL injury for the season. And Pittsburgh's, they're going to blitz like crazy. They're a 50-50 team as far as blitzing or not blitzing. And so that will be that's going to be a great game.
Okay, John, we have the feel bad story with Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay, signing with the Buccaneers. But you see the feel good story out of Tampa Bay?
I thought that
Professor?
Was a feel good story.
I thought it was a feel good story, too.
I thought it was feel good.
Well, it's a feel bad if you're a Buccaneers fan. But if you're a Rob Gronkowski fan, I love this story, John. They named a baby rhino at the Tampa Bay Zoo Gronk after Rob Gronkowski. And on top of that, Gronk went to the zoo to meet his namesake, Professor. How cool is that?
That's cool. That's cool. And see, that's the other thing that irritates. I mean, again, I'm just happy that Antonio Brown's out of the conversation here in Seattle. But the guy that's going to be affected by that more than anybody else is going to be Rob Gronkowski. Because, I mean, you've seen it here in the last several weeks. If they're taking on the Seahawks or even Tampa Bay, a team that, because, again, both are two tight end teams. I mean, right now Tampa's like the second or third team is using two tight ends. You know, Seattle's somewhere like about 10 or 11, but they've doubled the two tight end sets from last year. But when you have two good receivers like the Seahawks do, that takes away the pass catches from the tight ends. And so now Gronk, you know, he may have to go to the zoo to just have any activity other than blocking.
And, Professor, there's exciting news for you tomorrow.
Oh, that's great news. I mean, how about the fact that, and it is this great news, I think, overall for everybody. I mean, I get the one-hour addition to the show, so I can now go from 8 to 10 taking phone calls, and I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy that Seattle Sports Saturday is going to come back. He has not been there since March, and so, you know, Curtis Rogers and Taylor Jacobs are going to be hosting that. Then, you know, we still have the you have one tomorrow for the golf show?
The golf show at noon.
Yeah, we got the golf show at noon.
What a lineup.
Well, how about this? It's like, and then you have, there's a Cougar show right after you, right?
Yeah. Cougar football Saturday from 1 to 3.
Yeah, Cougar. And so there's 2 hours of that. Then they're going to, oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so then you have that, and then I know that they're going to rerun Huddle, and they're going to rerun some of the things during the week. And so it's going to be live or taped local all the way from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
John, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.